We are live. I'm going to check the feed on YouTube.
Okay.
This is exciting.
Definitely.
It says that. We got Crypto Red Dad, Blue Dad. Like I said, bear with me.
No worries. No worries. It's all good.
Let me go back in here. Live streaming. Go in here.
Why are you doing that? I'm going to get up some things I'll possibly want to share.
Okay, that's good.
Man, I can't help myself. I always have like 85 tabs open.
I'm the same way. Let's see. All right, let me just. Uh-oh. Let's see here. Right now, streaming software. Let me. Pick time. There it is. Let's see. Hey, Red Dad, Blue Dad. Oh, okay. You can see it on the, there's Underdog. You see it on YouTube?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? We're live. Hey,
we're doing good. We're doing good. I'm on the phone with Red Dad, Blue Dad.
Well, this right now.
We got Underdog in here.
You're live streaming. We're live streaming right now.
We're live streaming. Good, good. We're live streaming. I got the confirmation. We're here. Thank you, Red Dad. All right.
I'm loving it. We live, boys.
We're live. We're here. My name's Irfan Akpan. They call me the professor. I am a professor, assistant professor of accounting at Methodist University, and we've got Black Room here, Black Room Investing. We've got Underdog Crypto. We've got part of the CIC here. Let's just start. Black Room Investing, can you introduce yourself and Underdog Crypto? Can you tell us about that? And we'll get this conversation started about the metaverse.
My name is Ruel Black, better known as Black Room Investing. I'm a Michigan State grad, born in Detroit. I do a show on Benzinga every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time called Learn to Trade Ruel, aka The Ruel Report, where we go over stock and crypto, but mostly crypto. I really think the biggest advantage right now for anyone who's investing is in the crypto space, because you can get quantity, you can get really, really, really valuable assets for under a dollar a share, whereas that opportunity does not exist in the stock market like that. So I'm here with these fellas, and we're like of mind of helping people succeed. That's what we're about here, man.
Awesome. And Underdog, can you give us a little bit?
Gentlemen, thank you, and everyone, thanks for letting me be here today. I'm honored. I'm here with the professor of Black Room Investing. My name is Underdog Crypto. I'm a digital forensic scientist. I'm also a technology lover, and I'm here today to talk with these fellow gentlemen about this thing that we called how to get wealth in this crazy thing that we call the wealth war by Red Dad, Blue Dad. So I'm here just to have a conversation with these gentlemen. Thanks for letting me be here today, Mr. M. Fine.
Oh man, this guy. Pleasure. It's a pleasure. Go ahead. Well,
this guy right here, Underdog Crypto, too humble. Can't let him just bow out like that. He set this whole thing up. He got all these unique individuals together. He is a connector of humans, good humans. Love you, Jay. Great, great, great guy, man.
Yeah, that's true. Making things happen. We've got Crypto Red Dad, Blue Dad as well, another member of the team. He's there in the chat, but that is true. Really connecting, bringing together some really great minds to share. And what I think is very important is that it's giving. It's here to give information, which is really, it's sweat equity in this space. And I think today's conversation is important. We hear a lot about the metaverse, and it's important. You're going to get different takes on it, different angles on it, which what I'm hoping, it gets wheels turning. It gets you to start to thinking, and it gets you into diving deeper into it and looking into it for yourself. So it gets you excited about, like, Derek is there. He's like, he's excited for this. So let's start. Black Rule Investing, can you tell us what is your take, some key points on the metaverse? What do you have for us?
The key thing about the metaverse is a lot of people, like older than us, what they miss is that our children have already been started on this metaverse. So really the buying power that they're looking to recognize and really capitalize on is from about like 28 to like 12. That's the power that's the buying power they're really looking to capitalize on. And it's going to be here way quicker than we all think. They started it with the Minecrafts and the Fortnites, and to a lesser extent, like the Call of Duties and all of this. All of these are metaverses, and our kids are kind of used to it. And when they figured out our kids were willing to buy skins to just decorate their character and make them look better, not for like any type of game stats or to win, they were willing to just go and buy things to make their character look better. That opened up a whole new realm of purchase power in a virtual space. So now you can have multiple virtual worlds to create any type of reality you want. And you can sell there. You can sell and it just breaks off into so many different arches, because okay, now you can actually be like, okay, I like how this looks on my avatar. So maybe I can offer a package deal where we actually deliver you this stuff in real life, where you actually got companies set up on the metaverse where like they're trying to market to companies like H&M, Nike, like real live companies. Where you're going to have dudes wearing Nikes in the virtual space that they're also going to be buying in real life. So this is something that's real, and it falls right in line with what's going on in the world as far as like Rona and different things like that. A lot of people are going to be indoors with a lot of stuff and time and things on their hands with stuff to do. And the metaverse is going to be something that they're going to do. And we can get into it later, but I have a couple things where I can show you where it looks like they're going to make it really, really lifelike. We'll get into that later.
That's good. That's good. Well, this is some great points. Underdog, got anything on it?
You know, the definition of meta, one of the definitions, is the most effective way to achieve a goal. So if you look at the definition of the word meta, M-E-T-A, it's the most effective way to achieve goals. So when I hear metaverse, what I hear is the evolution of technology. We're just moving the needle forward and how we can effectively communicate using technology. It's not something new. It's the evolution of technology. So if you remember in the 70s, a computer took up a building. Now a computer was reduced to the size of your thumb. Your computers are on your hand. Now we know that if you need a subpoena for a cell phone, because the federal government looks at a cell phone as a private piece of your computer going with you, you need a subpoena to get into it. The metaverse is just a more efficient way to make it a lighter version to communicate and connect. So that's what we're talking about here, technology evolution.
That's good. And I wanted to throw something out. Every time I see underdog, I think of the word research. I think of the word research, which is very important. And I was, as a professor, that's one of the things I do, research. And one of my research partners, we were brainstorming on a potential metaverse project. So we look at the problems. What are the potential problems? My research partner knows nothing, expert in accounting, nothing of the metaverse. So we talked through this. And she came up with one point, and I'm going to use an accounting term, but she came up with this point, and I want to get your take on this. When we started talking about the metaverse, we started talking about the sandbox, Decentraland, explaining how it is, the land, the NFTs. The accounting term she came up with is something called going concern. Going concern is a fancy way of saying a business can go out of business, might not work. What will happen? So her big concern was, which she brought up with the metaverse, particularly when we talk about the sandbox, which many of these are private companies, foreign-based. What happens to your assets, or what happens to that environment if that company goes bankrupt, is gone? What will happen? That was a huge risk. And that's an accounting term, but it ties into business. So I want to get your take on that. Let's start. Black Rue Investor, what do you think about that going concern?
I think that gets back again to what I was saying earlier. I think they're really trying to get this on the ground for our children, and they're trying to encompass their buying power. So that's where I think a lot of the opportunity there is missed. And what's going to happen, in my opinion, is it's going to get really, really out of control. Not out of control as in like a bad thing, but there's so much freedom into what a world you can create looks like and can be, that there are some things that I can see, if you're a religious person, that could be really sinful with that. I think it's really marketed towards our children. And I think they, like I said, they're used to going on here and buying skins. And then when they see a skin that looks really good, say the next day they see their next, this YouTube influencer or this TikTok influencer on a metaverse that they're about, wearing shoes that every one of their friends thinks are hot. That's all they really need. Like, okay, now they're gonna go buy those shoes in the metaverse, and they're probably gonna buy them in real life. And then once companies prove out that that can happen, all is gonna break loose. And I don't think we're too far from that, because you already have like companies like Dunkin' Donuts and all of this offering like the Travis Scott or the Charli D'Amelio this, or the Logan Paul that. Like, it's been proven like that it can work already, because we've had things like shot that girl, Megan Thee Stallion, whatever his name, Trey Songz. We had Trey Songz NFT, he sold them all out. Like, so we've already had cases that have proven to work. So I don't think that it's a deal where they have to worry about going out of business. It's just how they roll it out and how they market it. If they market it in a 21st century way where they're going through TikTok and TikTok influencers, I think they'll be fine.
Okay. So Underdog, what are your thoughts?
All right, so part of this collaboration is we don't always have the same opinion. I think it's good. We should have difference and divergence of opinions. I think that there is a probability that if these technology companies will go out of business because that's how the economy works. Every business has to have a strategy. And as investors and traders, we have to take the same amount of effort to look into that business overall totality to see if it has the foundations for success. For example, it doesn't matter if it has the greatest technology in the world. If there's a lot of embezzlement and fraud within the company, it will go out of business. You will lose money. So I think that the technology is more what Rue was saying. The technology is sound, but I also think you should and you must look at the companies that utilize and leverage that technology for their products to make sure that you don't find yourself investing in a project that could make you lose money. I'm going to give you one quick example, Professor, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I was looking at Michael J. Saylor. He's the CEO of MicroStrategy. Now, if you read about him, basically they provide business intelligence, mobile software, and cloud-based services. Now, he's a big proponent of Bitcoin. Now, I'm not a big proponent of Bitcoin. I'll say it right here. People can hate it all you want to. Bitcoin does 7 transactions per hour. Underdog Crypto will not invest in a company or a project that only does 7 transactions per hour. It makes no sense to me. It's outdated. It has no use other than the hype of it. I understand it controls the market, but why would I put my company into the hands of a project that can't do more than 7 transactions per hour when Visa, MasterCard are doing thousands in a minute? Makes zero sense. But he pushes Bitcoin, and this is his thought, and I agree with some of it. He said in an interview, he stated that when people buy Bitcoin, this is a part I disagree with, they're buying real estate that's going to be here for long periods of time. People will build off of Bitcoin. When people buy altcoins, they're buying into a technology company which can go in and out of business. Which one would you rather have? This is his quote. Would you rather buy the real estate or would you rather buy the business that leases from the real estate? Under his particular purview of that, he thinks that the real estate is the most valuable thing. So holding Bitcoin is the most valuable. See, I differ with that. I would personally, as an investor, invest in sound technology than to base all my eggs on a technology that already has competitors like Polygon, Matic, Zilliqa. I can tell Ethereum. I can tell you multiple companies or projects that can wipe Bitcoin off the block. Bitcoin was first, but it doesn't mean it needs to stay here. So I don't really believe that we should not consider looking at the projects as they can't ever go wrong and go out of business. I can list you many projects that have went out of business since 2017 in this space. So they had good technology, but the market still is the market.
That was a good point, and it was a great analogy with the real estate. My question, and this goes out to everyone, and then we'll go to there's a question in the chat. So when we talk about the metaverse, we have these whole environments, right? So we got the NFT portion, we got the whole environment, and we've got the currency. So in the case of the sandbox, we've got sand, the central land, we've got mana. So I just to clarify, and I'm, and someone can take this. Are you saying when you say the project, are you saying the crypto is the key or the lifeblood of the project versus the infrastructure? Is that something to look into? That was a good point.
Well, go ahead, Underdog.
Yes, absolutely. I think that the crypto is the crypto is the core. It's the engine, but an engine can't work without the components. So if the project that builds around the engine has problems, then you go into your colleague who said, they worry about these businesses failing. The business can fail, yet the technology is still sound.
I got it. So if, but it, so this is good. But to piggyback on, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Black Root. Go ahead.
No problem. Let me see if I can share something with you guys. Share screen. Sure. And I think there's something you'll have to do on your end to make sure that I can share. Professor?
I'm saying, how do I do it?
You'll have to do something on your end so I could share.
Professor, if you click on, he uploaded something, look at the bottom, you'll see the video he uploaded. If you click on it and press share, it'll share it on your screen.
Let's see. I see share.
Right at the part where you added me in, if you look at the bottom, you'll see his video. Just click on it. It'll ask to add to screen and it'll bring it up.
Yeah, I don't see it. Oh, there it is. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on.
And while you're pulling it up, I'll talk to some of your people in your chat.
There it is.
There we go.
All right, guys. So this is a coin that I really believe highly in. It's called Seek. They do AR, VR, and they're also going to have a metaverse. But if you look at this that I'm showing you right here, I'm not going to play it just so like it's not any copyrighted music. But let me see if I can just kill the sound. But you can see they're doing a concept video for H&M where they would literally like sell H&M stuff in a metaverse. And as you can see, like, this looks pretty good. It looks exactly like you were walking into a store and buying something. And this is the type of stuff we can expect to see from a metaverse. And to address what Underdog said, and I think I'm leaning with the tech all day, but my view is kind of in between. Well, I'm more on what Underdog is saying. I'm all about quantity. And if you're Michael Saylor and you got billions and billions of dollars, Bitcoin does maybe sound better for you. But if you're someone who's just getting into this space, there's so many more coins like Seek, Sandbox. Underdog mentioned a lot of Ethereum killers, Ethereum, Cardano. Like we don't have the quantity of money to go buy Bitcoin. It doesn't make any sense for us. But for a billionaire who wants to go out and have something that only has 21 million tokens and is already an established asset, which companies like Square, Tesla all have on their books, that makes more sense for him. But for us who are just starting out, if we go buy companies like Seek, which have people like Lady Gaga, Demi Lovato, all these people behind them, and this coin is less than a dollar, that makes more sense for us. And whenever you get a chance, I want to kind of get into where this is going to be like really, really lifelike, what they're trying to do to make this real, real lifelike.
See, this is good, but it still takes me back. So Seek is similar to the Sandbox. Is that correct?
It's more like they want to be ARVR YouTube, if you will. So they want people to be like, they want to be like an ARVR YouTube / NTV. So you go on there, you watch esports, you go on there, you watch live concerts. You go on there, you watch, you learn how to do, workouts with Francis Ngannou, MMA fighter. So it's more like a YouTube type deal with a metaverse in it. I think Sandbox, what they're really trying to be, the Sandbox and the Manas of the world, they really want you to spend time in their metaverse as though it was real life. They have real, like, they have casinos on there run by Atari and stuff like that. They really want to kind of immerse you in the realness of their metaverse. Whereas Seek, they just want you to come on and like get in and out and just like have a real live version of the video happen around you, kind of. If that makes sense. Well,
it does make sense, but do you think that any of these projects or these metaverse worlds, they can pull the plug?
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely they can pull the plug.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but
okay.
There's what do you mean by pull the plug?
Well, what we're going back to what we were saying before, the going concern, they could shut it down.
We know this happens because they get delisted. These projects do rug pulls. That is pulling the plug. Yeah. So not only can it be because of fraud, not only can it be from legitimacy, they just can't make it in the market through natural selection of companies. You're an accountant. You teach accounting principles. If you bleed out the back end of your company, it will shut down. And in this space, it's so new. The innovation technology theory, how do you get people to invest in something they don't even see yet? We're talking about some of these are, like what we were just saying, concepts. We're venture capitalists in this space. All of us are venture capitalists because when you're buying something before it has actually been built, you are a venture capitalist. And that is the most high risk thing you can be in any type of investment.
That's good. Go ahead.
We're going back to that, like, Jay is so right. He's so right on that. And for, like, people older than us, that's why I think the concept is kind of a hard thing to explain what the metaverse is. But what it is just really virtual real life. And due to everything that's going on in the world right now, I think there's more of a push for people to be inside. So they want to capitalize on people spending while they're inside. So how do you keep people inside? By giving them the same thing that they could have gotten outside. So now there's a coin that I'm really high on called Rose. It's by Oasis Foundation. The ticker symbol is Rose, R-O-S-E. They're partnered with Meta. They're partnered with Facebook. And if you look at the owner had some type of, she does technology with deepfakes. So can you imagine a metaverse with deepfake avatars with that type of realism?
You going to talk about deepfakes? Because I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yes, I want to hear about the deepfakes.
With that type of realism. We can get into it. Let me share one more time. Let me go pull that up.
And Professor, just so you know, there's a lot of questions in your chat. Just a few of people who have asked some questions. I know you want to get to them.
Let's. Okay.
Am I still sharing?
Let me go here. There it is. And then we'll go to the questions.
This is the coin that I'm talking about, Oasis Network. And if you come over to my channel, guys, it's darkhorsewatcher.com. I'm going to touch on this, but I have videos where I'm more in depth on this. And I've been following this guy for like since 30 cents. Okay, but here's the thing that I'm talking about. We come up down here and we read more. Okay, Don Song. So She founded Oasis Network, but what she won a Amazon Web Services Machine Learning Research Award for her work in protecting the public against AI generated fakes, i.e. deep fakes. So if Facebook is partnering with this type of person, then my thought is that they're going to have avatars that are actually deep fake like avatars. Do you imagine the amount of realism it puts on that type of world if you're in it? Now, like we already know that we have people, like a lot of people, that spend over 4 hours playing video games already. Like, they have all these stats, they have all these statistics. Now put them into a world where they're literally kind of real life feeling it with a deep fake avatar who they could literally be anyone that they wanted to. Oh my God. The realism and the staying power of that world to me makes it very, very tempting. Very, very tempting.
So it sounds like the deep fake, the avatar is important. It's an important in the development of the metaverse. Is that, am I getting that correct?
I believe so.
What about, there's a platform called Spatial. I don't, are you familiar with Spatial? It is straightforward. They scan you, they do a scan, and you have a similar to the Meta avatar. It's your upper body, and it's got your face on there. Will this be similar to that type of scanning and impression, or is this a totally different level of avatar and engagement? Go
ahead, I see. I'm biting at the bit over here. This has been my area, especially. Just released a co-authored a report that went out to all federal agencies, including Congress, about this subject right here, deepfakes.
Let's hear about it.
and on the things that we can talk on low level, let's just touch on it, because this is a Professor Akpan and Black Roo. I don't want to take up all the time, but here's the thing. Why are deepfakes? I'm going to give you the low level. There's four different types of deepfakes if I was to generalize it. There's the lip sync deepfake, where I can make you think about Jordan Peele and President Obama. That was 4 or 5 years ago. He came on and he acted like he was President Obama. He's a voice impersonation, and he made the lips move. At that time, it took hundreds of thousands of dollars maybe to do that deepfake. Now you can do it on click of a button. Now you got that lip sync deepfake, changing lips. You got the face swap deepfake, changing the face. You got the also puppeteer deepfake, where I can make Professor come on here and say what he wants to do, move how I want him to move. And then you also have a hybrid of all of them. Here's the problem. Like, for example, audio. I need 10 seconds of your audio, and I can get your voice. The problem is the nefarious ways it can be used. See, movie in Hollywood would love this type of technology. Now, what's the problem with that? What if I said I'm Professor Akpan? What if I want to blackmail Professor Akpan? I could do it right now. I got his video. I got his voice. I could put his face on. I could put a tie on. I could get someone who has a similar body appearance, and I can say something that would get him fired. I could make myself in a picture of an inappropriate picture and all types of things. There is some legalities to this piece, and it's not regulated. Technology is further past the regulation. And so the what Black Roo is saying, there are some real applications that are not nefarious. Movie theaters. Imagine you putting yourself in a movie. That's available right now. They already got an app. They came out with that 2 years ago. I can put myself in a movie as the favorite character, and it can sound like me and look like me. But what happens to intellectual property? I can, like, we got Indigo Saint in there tonight. I've been in the music industry for a while. Indigo Saint is a creator. He's an artist. One of the best. In fact, he don't even know this, but something went down tonight, and I told y'all that y'all need to pay attention to Indigo Saint. After this is over with, he's going live, folks. He's going live, but that's another thing. But let's say he...
All right, Indigo.
He'll be participating in something, but I won't let it go tonight, but it's huge. And he is huge.
Congratulations.
But let's say I'm not Indigo Saint. I don't have the talent of Indigo Saint. I can steal his sound. I can steal his voice. And I can purport that this is mine and change the words and make a number one hit. It's already available. So the problem, as I'm excited about the technology, Black Roo is talking about the good part, but there is some issues as we move forward in the space. A lot of legalities and moral and ethical things we have to consider as we move forward. And the governments and the local governments and people, we're not even touching how behind we are in this.
Jay, underdog, yeah, you came right at it, brother. That's exactly what I was talking about with this whole sinful thing. Like, then imagine somebody taking our voices and our faces and putting it like we're robbing something. Or imagine somebody taking our voices and our faces and having us like maybe do something sexually inappropriate. Like it opens up so many of those type of sinful things that could happen. And that is definitely something that's really, really going to have to be guarded against with these deep fakes. And I know Facebook might be looking at it as, okay, this is a hyper type of realism where we can keep people in our world longer, but it's going to be something that's really, really, really going to need to be guarded against. Because who's to say that someone can't take my phone and make it look like I'm in a different area, deep fake me, and then have me in some huge trouble?
Well, not to say who can't say it's available right now with very low tools. We saw the Nancy Pelosi aspect a few years ago. That was a cheap fake where they slowed down her speech and made her look like she was intoxicated. That wasn't even using artificial intelligence. That was just editing. But it got the conversation going of the reality. I'm talking about human trafficking. See, if you can change the face of a person that they're looking for with facial recognition, it won't capture you. I'm talking about the Innocence Project. 70% of wrongful identification of African-American men were through an eyewitness testimony. And now these deepfake technologies are not created to look at minorities because our skin tone throws off some aspects of this facial recognition. So what about just setting people up who are already in a marginalized society, and this technology can be used to further marginalize and to target individuals in certain... There's so much to this. But anyway, that's not this platform for today. I just want to bring it up.
That's important.
It is very important. But there's one thing. Where there's a problem, there's the opportunity. So what is the opportunity or the solution? What do we see as the solution to this? To not necessarily to either eliminate or what they call mitigate it. And then I'm going to go to the chat. I didn't forget about you guys in the chat. I'm so sorry.
I think the opportunity there to mitigate that is going to be NFTs. And I think what many people are going to opt to do is to hide their identity via these NFTs. And you see it now how people on Twitter have these bored apes or something else representing themselves besides their own face. So I think many people are going to get into these worlds and they're going to be representing themselves by an NFT rather than their own face.
And before you go to chat, what's the mitigation? One of the things I'm doing, when I said I was launching my my company, I've already created a company I'm launching, it's going to be training people. Knowledge is the very first avenue to overcome this. You can change all we want to. What Black Rue is talking about is about, hey, if I make my digital footprint less available, that's great. Yeah. Problem is, by the time you've reached 24, your digital footprint is on the old web and it's not going anywhere. So... Yeah. I can still, like the 10-year challenge, how many people participate in the 10-year challenge? I can tell you many on Facebook. The problem is cyber criminals and state actors use these 10-year challenges to get your identity. TikTok, you heard about that years ago. TikTok was already targeted, said that TikTok was one of these companies that were using the information as a state actor. You know what people said? We don't care if state actors are using our information. See, we're so desensitized to our own data, we just don't care anymore. But part of that piece, Professor, you asked, what's the opportunity? Well, the opportunity from a cyber investigation standpoint, educate people. See, we have to start learning now the cost and value of our data. Mm-hmm. And then someone has to teach those people. So that's an opportunity cost there. So I see a big shift if individuals are going to get in this lane. I've been doing this for 20 years, but digital forensics, multimedia forensics, someone has to be the expert to know how to determine, detect, and mitigate these circumstances for companies. Right now, it's just a handful of people like myself who can actually help you with that. Other than that, who's doing the work?
And let me add to that really quick. So I just want to say that there is a money making piece to this, as far as like, you know, being a part of the metaverse and like investing in the coins and stuff like that. But Jay Underdog, you make a really good point. We really have to know that what we're going to put out on this metaverse can be something that can be our likeness, our voice, our faces, and they can be used for nefarious reasons. So it's very important that you make that you bring out that point so that people know, because this is a day that we just give away our data, and because we're not aware, or maybe we're a little like, and people don't like this word, naive. And I mean naive in the nicest way, in that like we're nice people and we don't even contemplate how people could damage us with our own stuff.
Well, you brought up a great point when you mentioned NFTs, and you said something about the Bored Ape. I was reading a Bored Ape Club. I was reading something, and I was reading that there's a concern about theft of NFTs. So you mentioned, Jay is smiling, theft of NFTs, because you mentioned Bored Ape, and that made me think some of these NFTs are worth $100,000, $200,000, and people have access to them on their phone. And there's I guess you could say it's a growing concern of theft, where someone will, they figure out, like you mentioned, someone has their face as their Bored Ape NFT. So now someone knows that you have it. They come and get you and force you to transfer your $200,000, $100,000, $10,000 NFT to their wallet, and then it's gone. Wait. Jay, you're nodding your head. So,
well, I don't want to take away from your community, because they're biting at the bit to talk to you. I don't want to take away. But as you look at the community, here's the thing about it. This conversation right now with Black Rue and InfoMacPine, let me just stop and breathe for a second. I'm so excited, folks. Do you see why you can't sleep on these individuals? If you go to InfoMacPine, you're going to get this type of conversation. You go to Black Rue Invest, you're going to get this conversation. Or you can go to your BitBoys. I'm on a BitBoy hunt right now. I'm on a BitBoy hunt. And if you ever watch this, I'm coming for you, BitBoy. You don't know me, but you will. You get these paid content creators to just shovel manure, I'll be nice, in your face and to tell you that you're eating a steak. And you got the real men and women in this space, like InfoMacPine, Black Rue, the CIC, giving you actual knowledge that can help change your life, whether it's from a security standpoint, whether it's from technology innovation, but you need to hear this information. Now, you're getting into the things I was going to talk about. I'm going to be releasing on my platform. I got a standard review and I also got the war series, but I've been telling people about the crypto space. The 80% right now of the Bored Apes, millions of dollars have been stolen of NFTs, and billions of dollars have been taken overall throughout the world in a billion-dollar market. Now, the problem is 80% of those thefts are from the psychological things such as phishing. See, people don't understand that there is, you give people access. When we say hackers, we generalize it so much that we think there's somebody really. No, the hackers are just here. They're beating you here. I saw, I'm not gonna go too deep, but I saw a lot of times, this is how people get phished. You're on my page, I check my comments constantly, and I look for my community like yourselves to also check my comments. I also check you guys' comments too, because you'll see people say they're underdog crypto, use my image, and then say get in contact with me on WhatsApp. I've never asked anybody for money, but if you look, I'll delete hundreds of comments each day, and I can't even get around to it. Well, this is happening in crypto space, and people are getting your seed phrases. You're sending it to them because you think you're talking to customer service, and you're giving up your equity. That is how it's happening. It's not this savvy hacker. They're outsmarting you. So that's one of the things that I said when I start training people is how to avoid the psychological and mental piece you need to be in this space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that is good.
There's many of those things out there. Just know none of us will ever contact you like that. We will never, ever ask you for money or be on WhatsApp. We're here to educate. We would never do that for you, to you guys, ever. And yeah, I see
they're asking questions. They're asking questions in that chat. They're gonna revolt unless the M5 assaults to them.
I'll address that. Yara, you mentioned what are NFTs. The technical term is non-fungible tokens, but really the way you can think of it is taking anything that you can make money with in real life and making it virtual. For example, baseball cards. There's a company called NBA Top Shot. They make basketball cards. And they kind of like spiced it up, made it 21st century. Instead of it just being a regular little flat 2D basketball card, it's actually a 3D, like actual clip of a basketball player in a great moment. Like they shoot a great three, they get blocked, they make a dunk. And it's already been proven that people buy basketball cards. So now they're making it into an NFT and they're using everything that you would use with blockchain. And the blockchain becomes the certificate of authenticity, right? So now it says, okay, we're only making 5,000 of these and you have one. And now since the blockchain recorded that you had it and you're at this address, it's yours. So it doesn't matter if somebody else is going to bring this clip up. They don't have a certificate of authenticity. They don't have it locked up in their wallet. So they don't own it. You own it. So that's that basketball card piece right there. And when you go into these Bored Apes and CryptoPunks, you got stuff like digital art. So now it's like a Picasso. And it's already been proven where people will go out and they'll buy these Van Goghs, Da Vinci's, Frida Kahlo's. Like, we know that people will buy great art. Now we're just bringing it over to a virtual space. So that's the only thing that NFT is taking something in physical form, bringing it over to a virtual space that we've already proven can make money. For example, also like music, like that's Opulous. We went over a project called Opulous, and Opulous is a little difficult to understand because it's not the music itself; it's the right to earn the money from the music. So it's literally anything you can make money for, digitalized or virtualized.
That was good. And to add to that, when you think about the metaverse, you have these NFTs that are land. So when we talked about the two of the platform, we talked about the sandbox and we talked about Decentraland, you can actually buy land, which is an NFT. You buy land, you own that land, you can even lease the land. You can lease yes. it. So someone can put a game on your space, charge people to play that game. So there's different layers to it and complexities as we get into different mediums with these NFTs, with the NFTs. That was a good point. And there's a project. Go ahead.
On that land piece, Boy Underdog did a really great video on Ape NFT. We already mm-hmm. have it showing up right now in places like Ape NFT, Sandbox, Decentraland, where people are doing virtual virtual art shows. So people will go in there and they'll look and they'll go see Bored Apes, different pieces of art that people own, and they'll do art shows for all of their NFT art. So we already have a growing underground of that taking off right now. And we even had, I believe it was Sandbox, they did something where they had a party with Snoop Dogg in the metaverse. So it's like the people, the marketers are finally understanding, okay, if we get these influencers in here, now we have, you know, we have a fan base, a already knowledgeable fan base that we can bring over and convert. So they're getting really kind of, they're getting really savvy in the way that they're doing this, and it's really starting to pick up.
And a professor, just so you know, your community are asking us several questions in the comments.
Okay, well, let's back up a little bit. Ernster, he asked, what about the Lightning Network? If somebody can take that, Ernster asked about, Ernster 86.
I'll go after you, Underdog, go ahead.
And I'm be very limited. I just want to, I know you need to get to the questions. I don't have anything to comment.
Okay, the Lightning Network is basically how they're upgrading Bitcoin in order to have Bitcoin do DeFi. So if you guys want to come over to my channel and you're not, if you're not sure what DeFi is, I have a video called Crypto, What Is It Really? And my channel, of course, is Dark Horse, like a nay, like a horse, darkhorsewatcher.com, darkhorsewatcher.com. But DeFi, DeFi is basically banking decentralized. So instead of having like 85 middlemen, like if we're doing a transaction, like say if I was buying a professor's house, then like his bank has to clear, my bank has to clear. And then if we have loan officers, their banks have to clear. So it becomes like all these different middlemen in between us. Whereas with DeFi, you take all that away. And it's basically almost like me and you doing the transaction, but we're just doing it through that crypto coin or whatever. So it makes the rates, the borrowing and lending rates way better for us. And then when you stake, it makes the interest rates way better for you. So now they're trying to bring this over to Bitcoin via the Lightning Network, because you got all these big Bitcoin honks like Underdog was talking about, like Michael Saylor, Elon Musk, Chamath Palihapitiya. You got all these big Bitcoin honks. So they want to see Bitcoin get in on this action too. So that's why we're seeing the Lightning Network be built out, because they want to get in on this DeFi action. Because a lot of these coins, the way they really grow is through DeFi money. That's how they grow.
That was good. That was good. Indigo Saint, it's saying maybe we'll see full adoption when all social media companies get into the metaverse. That's a good one. He talks about the, it's going to be great for the younger generation because we're always on our phones.
Yes. So that's it right there. That's it right there. Indigo, you got it. Like that's the essence of what I'm saying too. Cause like, they got the little ones on TikTok right now. TikTok right now is pretty much its own little metaverse. Then you imagine putting like augmented reality to that, where they put on some glasses and now they can move their hand like it's real life and like press on something like it's real life. Oh my God. Like they've already gotten them so that like they're better about communicating with people on TikTok and Discord than they are in real life. So it's just the next evolution. It's just the next step, to be honest with you. And Indigo, you hit it right on the head.
I think Indigo made a great point, and I believe that thesis is true. However, I think that many of us are, I'll just say it, we're sleeping on Microsoft. Sleeping on Microsoft. Why do I say that? They've got the hardware. They have the Microsoft HoloLens, and they have the cloud storage. So they got the cloud storage space. So they've got these pieces already there together. I think Microsoft could be what you call a sleeping giant in this side of things. And as a matter of fact, they have the social media. They've got LinkedIn. If we were going to talk about the social media portion, any thoughts on that?
I got a thought on that one, Professor. Can I jump in? I'm going to pull this up really quickly. I'm going to pull this up really quickly. This is a comment I got the other day. Hopefully it's very quick. If I can't find it, I'll just quote it. I can't find all fans, so let me see if I just quote it. And here we go. So I was doing a video on May 19th, 2021. I'm looking at my phone right now on Jarvis. Now, Jarvis is a artificial intelligence, natural language processor. They have a partnership with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. Now, the person said some derogatory things to me. I don't care. But what they were saying is they said, underdog, I bet you feel bad now because Jarvis is not going anywhere. And so I asked the question I often asked these Wind Moon people. I said, okay, do you have anything researchable that we can look at to support your statement that this technology of artificial intelligence isn't going anywhere? Well, look at the price. I said, I don't look at price. I never did. I said, do you have anything that tells me that Microsoft, who got Jarvis, and Jarvis, who now has partnership with NVIDIA, the largest gaming company in the world, do you think there's a reason why Jarvis needs to have this technology with Microsoft and NVIDIA? They didn't say anything besides, well, this is doo-doo coins, and they said other word. Here's the thing I want to stress. In order to connect us, Meta means the most efficient way. In order to connect us, it might make sense, since Jarvis is a natural language processor, that I can connect with someone in Japan and artificial intelligence can listen to what you type and say and translate it like Google Translator does when I went to Japan and Korea. See, I talk into this thing and I was able to navigate in other countries. See, people understand this metaverse is about connectivity. So while they're focused on their price action, they forget that artificial intelligence is a technology that Microsoft wants to be in business with, and so does NVIDIA, because they, just like Hedera, are connecting people. And that is what drives these projects. So for me, after I saw that, I went and I bought another million Jarvis, not because of the fact that I didn't know, because I talked about this 10 months ago, because people only can see what's in front of them. These are the people who are called late adopters. And it doesn't do us any good to talk to a late adopter in this group. The people we're connected right now, we're innovators. We're innovative thinkers. See, these individuals will always stunt growth for themselves, but they get left behind. So when you said Microsoft, they are already ahead of making moves for the metaverse, because Jarvis is one of the only and few artificial intelligence, deepfake is artificial intelligence, companies that's already well suited to connect people no matter where you are in the world. And I use it already on Google through Google Translator. It's actually how I communicate when I do go overseas. So yeah, I think they are not only sleeping on Microsoft, they forget that Microsoft has Xbox and all these different, they're in the game. They've always been in the game.
That was good. That was a good point. It's a synergy, connecting the dots to kind of get an idea to get you to think about how this all ties in together. Indigo Saint made a good point. I can see how those dots connect. We talk about Microsoft. One of Microsoft's big competitors is a company in New York called Vuzix. Vuzix. So you can take a look at they make these
glasses. Reality glasses.
Yeah, and they partnered with Verizon, and they're on the medical side, use case side, where one of their use cases is to have these 5G ambulances where they're the EMTs, they have the Vuzix glasses, these AR glasses in the ambulance. So a doctor can see what's going on and start treating the patient in the ambulance before they get to the hospital. So, but they come at a different price point as the HoloLens, right? So, but a different use case. So these things are there, and these are good points to see how, like Jay was saying, you gotta think about it and look at ways of connecting the dots. Because the way the thing is gonna be 5 years from now, really 2 years from now, 1 year from now, it's not gonna be the same. We may think of it today, but these pieces are gonna kind of fold together and meld together as we move forward. So it's good to do the research, understand the environment. And another good point, you won't be taken by surprise when you say, oh, Microsoft is in the metaverse. Well, okay, for someone who's done some research, they understand they've got the HoloLens. You know, they've got Jarvis, they have all of this. So it's not a shock when you see this come out. That was great. That was great. Well, let me get back into the crypto. Let me get back into, someone said Epic Prime. Someone was asking if someone's going to talk about Epic Prime. Can someone talk about
it? Build on what you said, Professor, there. Now, Underdog, I'm going to have to pick up some Jarvis. I ain't know anything about that one. I'm going to pick up some of that.
I didn't interrupt you. Go ahead.
So it's just like the professor was saying, and I wasn't even thinking about, like, now we're hooking all of these pieces together, right? Language. Like, that's a huge barrier, right? Now you have Jarvis there. You can speak whatever language you want in there. It'll just translate it. Boom. Easy, right? So, and then the professor mentioned, okay, Vuzix, and that was a stock I was in on, like, under $1, by the way. Love that. But you got those augmented reality glasses, and then Facebook has Oculus. They make the VR headsets. So you got all of that stuff coming together. Like, these moving pieces, you guys got to understand, these things have been in the works for like 10 years. Facebook has owned Oculus for like 10 years. So they've been putting this whole metaverse thing in place for a long, long time now. Even with the movies, Ready Player One, all these type of things, like, they've been putting this stuff into place. So that's what I say. That's why I say, like, yes, it's capable for all of these businesses to fail, but I don't think that many people understand, like we do here, like the three of us do here, that these pieces have been put into place. Like this isn't something that's just like new, like you said, Jay. This has been going on. They've already put them into place here. So yeah, I didn't even think about the language piece of it. But yeah, all these pieces are coming together real, real nicely, I think.
Professor, I want to say to you, people, yeah, I'm going to get, you mind if I give an announcement real quick, Professor? I was holding
sure,
on.
Sure. And we're over 1 hour, but go ahead.
Okay,
for 5 hours.
I won't keep it long. I know people won't see the content if it's too long, so I got that. But I got the authorization from my boy Indigo Saint. So, huge company today solidified a contract deal where Indigo Saint will be doing a virtual concert for all of their constituents in the medical field. In the room in this company is the former executive of Sony, who knows Jermaine Dupri and all types of individuals. There's going to be a conversation to be had afterwards about him, his career. Now, what I want to give this is the power of what has happened here, because people will miss the details. If we had been in a space of doing what we knew, we're giving out CDs. No one would see it. Indigo Saints in a different part of the world. I'm in a different part of the world. Through the power of technology and connectivity, we have collaborated to get one of the greatest of all time musicians that I've ever heard, music in front of people in positions that can put that music into your radios across the whole world and skip steps. That's practical application. We're going to do this in a virtual setting. And although this is to be a part of this, they're going to be paying to have access to his live show. See, that is what we're doing here. We're not talking about theory anymore, gentlemen. We are talking about practical application. And where can you get that information? Right here. The Professor Humble Man has made like 14 books. One of them I read quite a bit, The Roadmap, right, that you gave about virtuality and metaverse. I think it was virtuality, right? And Black Rue is talking about things. But see, the professor was talking about virtual reality before it was even cool. See, people, you sleep, y'all are sleeping on it. And let's be honest, professor, just like the huge news about Indigo Saint, that's one of many. That's the one I can give to him and give y'all today. But let's just be honest. When you were starting to write your books, and your colleagues and people you work with, they might have looked at you a little bit different, because when you fall outside of the status quo, that sometimes I'm around scientists all the time. They're like, yeah, is there a need for this right now? Now, look at this. Years later, the professor can say, well, guys, I kind of been telling you, here's my book. I told you before was cool. Crypto Pro, he's another member of CIC. A year ago, he had 44,000 views on a little thing called Ecomi. He was one of the first people to brought you a video about augmented reality and these NFTs and how you can flip them for money. Now, he is one of the leading people who talked about these NFTs before it happened. Black Rue Investing, he had videos. He told you about Keek. He told you about all these virtual reality things at the beginning of the year of last year. Now, people are on it. Red Dad, Blue Dad, he did a Human 2.0, talked about artificial intelligence, how that is being integrated in society and community. You could have been on it. And I talked about Jarvis and other things. Here's my point of all this. This market, in order for us to survive, no matter who you are, is to have some type of forecast based on researchable facts that can predict a path and trajectory. And I think that that's the value of coming here and going over your hour worth of time. If someone just stops for a moment and says, you know what, I'm not done studying. The professor went to school for years to become a professor. Black Rue went to school for years. Underdog Crypto went to school for years. They must know something, because why would they take their time? If you study everything that you hear from these videos, I can't say you'll win, but you have a high probability to learn something that most people don't know and put yourself in a position to win later. And that's how Indigo Saint is in front of a lead executive that used to be over Sony Records, who I saw many pictures of them with some famous people that I've never had an opportunity to talk to, but he'll get an opportunity all through technology and collaboration. So I just want to give that to you and the rest of the community. Y'all really need to come to this platform. Black Rue, professor, he's on TikTok, he's on Instagram. If you don't do the research, don't expect this stuff to just happen. You're going to be behind.
Yeah, that was a great point. And I wanted to say kudos to Indigo Saint. That is awesome. Congratulations. And how can we, Jay, can you tell, how can the people listening, can we get some links or something, connects, or what can we do?
Yes, sir. Thank you for asking. There's a few things. One, at the end of this month, we're going to be doing a listening party for Indigo Saint's new song. It's an NFT. We're going to be calling it That Rocket. There are going to be NFTs to purchase and things like that. That's on my page. Every time you see my channel, you'll see the beginning and end. You'll see Indigo Saint's music. That's not my music. That is his intellectual property. So if you simply go to hashtag Friends of Indigo or hashtag Indigo Saint, he is the only one. He's also on Twitter. The best way to show support is to reach in your pocketbooks and show support. That's how we have to do it, because I promise you, the people who have created Trump hotels, the Marriotts, they support one another. So the best support is to put your hands in your pocket and hold on to something to give support, not with accolades, but also to support one another. If we don't collaborate, divided, we will fall. And that's how he is making moves. These NFTs he sells, I can't tell you, just like any other crypto project, that it's going to be $1,000 one day. But this is what I believe in his work. So I believe if you hold one of these NFTs, his first NFT, music song, and a video, and everything happens, I would like to have Jay-Z's work, his first song before he became Jay-Z we know. That's all I'm saying. It's speculation, but I look at it the same way. His music is now being integrated in crypto space. That is my space that I love, that we all here for. And Oculus will give people opportunity to get copyrights, percentages. You talk about fractional NFTs, Professor. You understand the power of owning a percentage of something that can give you a royalty check for the rest of your natural life. So there's not too many spaces that we can take control of the market. But here's the thing. Hypothetically, if I bought 10 songs from Indigo Saint, and those songs cost me, let's say, $50. I don't know what they cost. And I hold on to those 10 songs. And in a few years, 2 years, 3 years, he hits the number one charts, or those songs hit the number one charts. And there was a limited amount of those songs sold to you for $50. You're the only holder of that NFT song. It's unique to you. It cost you $50, but you held it for 3 years and it came out to be more. I'm going to ask you the question. How much does Spotify give you back after 3 years? Zero.
God, don't get me started on Spotify.
So
the best giving, way giving artists fractions of a penny for their freaking work. Don't give me started.
Yeah, so that's it. To find them, hashtag Indigo Saint, or go to any of my videos. I always reference them. And Professor, we got contact. I got to talk to you and everybody else. But I'm telling you, when y'all hear Underdog Crypto song number one on the charts in the United States, I don't want to hear nothing. I'm going to tell you, I told you first.
Flex said he's ready for the Indigo NFT. That's good. And this is great. I'm you know, it's good to see, you know, positive energy, people moving forward. I want to circle to all of you to get, you know, to give out your information as well. And I want to say this, because, you know, when we talk about giving information, I remember I was listening to a podcast. Someone was talking about a venture cap. Yeah, we're all, it was Black Room. You were talking about us all being venture capitalists. I was listening to a podcast, and this guy, he's a venture capitalist. He invests in companies. That's what he does for a living. Multi-millionaire. And they were asking him, okay, so how many books do you read? So this guy, he was like, I read 15 books a week. And that's really what got me to pause to really hone in on this. I'm like, listening to this. The guy said he trained himself to listen to, you know, you can adjust the speed. If you listen to audiobooks, he trained himself to listen to them really fast. Yep. So the guy on the podcast asked him, he said, well, why do you listen to them fast? He said, look, I try to listen to as many books, watch as much content as I can, because all I need is one idea. And that one, if I read a book and I get one idea out of that book, that idea could make me millions of dollars. So my charge to everyone, think about when you're listening to this content, I would be happy if there's one thing you got from this that's going to make you research it or think about it or look at something in a different way. And I think that's a great way to approach when you're listening to content, when you're reading books, try to get an idea. This guy, I'm listening, he's a multimillionaire. He's just looking for ideas, right? To learn something new. So I hope that this evening you take away, you get something that's valuable and something that's new. And also listen to these gentlemen and listen with the mind of getting something new, right? Am I saying it could make you a million, $1 billion? I'd hope so. But if it's something you didn't know before, that's valuable. Because now you've moved forward. Now you move forward. So on that note, Black Room Investing, how can they get in touch with you?
Before that, if you don't mind, I just want to Professor, you said it really. I try to consume as much good content as I can, and I do most times listen to it 1.5 times speed, because you know I just want to consume as much as I can. And you got all these creators here. You got Indigo Sane. You got the Professor. You got Underdog Crypto. You got Crypto Pro. You got Red Dad, Blue Dad. Consume all that content. And if you want to support monetarily, which we need to do more of with ourselves and our community, sad to say, but yes, we do. Like join the Patreons and stuff like that. If you want to come over to my channel, it's darkhorsewatcher.com. I have a Patreon. I do like a weekly stock watch list for $7.77 a month. So it's literally less than $2 a week for a watch list, which Underdog is probably going to kill me for that later. Like we might, if y'all get in now, you know, you get in now, but that price may change later. Ask questions too. I really like it. Young lady Yara, I think it was. She asked, "Oh, can you do an NFT?" Like I heard, and you made it really clear about something tangible. But can you NFT like a service? As far as I know, that's not. I don't know about NFTing a service, but that's a very great idea, Yara. NFT is service. Maybe that's a brand new thing that you can bring to the NFT space. Maybe it's out there somewhere. Maybe one of these guys knows if it's out there somewhere. But that's the type of questions and stuff. And that's that one idea, just like the professor was talking about. That's that one idea. That's that one great idea, you know, that can like push whoever forward. And that's honestly, that's what we're here for. And really, like, much props to Jay for setting this up. Man, you're just too humble, dude. Too humble.
Thank you. Go ahead, please. Jay, Underdog.
Well, you know, while we're talking, first of all, the professor and Black Root, much respect. This is the professor's platform, and there, those two gentlemen had a conversation, and they were so humble, allow me to join. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I appreciate all the people who came out here and are watching these individuals. I tune into them. This is who I surround myself with. So anybody who follows me, everyone needs a peer. Everyone needs a community. I'm telling you, I reach out to them. I talk to them, and I read a professor's paper on accounting principles. Not an accountant, but I read it because it was information I thought I needed to know, and I took out of it what I thought was good for me. After this is over with, on a spare moment, Red Dad, Blue Dad, and I, we're going live again. We're going to go live again. Black Rube, you want to join there too, that's fine. But here's the thing. You can reach me at #UnderdogCrypto. I do have my platform is already created. I did 300 videos last year. Check out the videos. You got a lot to get through. But I'm starting a platform where I'll be teaching skill sets based off what the professor said when our first meeting. He believes that skill sets are the most important thing. I'm in alignment with that. I believe too. I'll be teaching cybersecurity principles. I'll teach you how to not to get scammed. I'll teach you about fraud. I'll teach you about how to determine something's real or fake. I'll teach you how to research. It's not for everybody. It's for the people who truly are trying to maintain this new evolution. I'm not here to teach you hype. I'm here to just help you to move forward for the people I'm called to serve. So that's how you get in contact with me. And while you're there, if you know I rock, I'm a loyal person. So you rock with me, you rock with these gentlemen, you rock with Indigo Saint. But take the time, look at Indigo Saint, hashtag friends of Indigo, Indigo Saint, and the music on my platform he created. Give him his props. He has some things coming down. You might want to jump on this Indigo Saint train before it gets to where it goes. I know more than I can let you know. I'm telling you, you're gonna come back and you'll be crying. Why did I listen to Underdog? That's all I got, folks.
This is great. Thank you so much, everyone. Make sure to tune in to Crypto Red Dad, Blue Dad. And again, thank you, Black Rue Investing. Thank you, Jay Underdog, for stopping by. Thank you, everyone, for just the amazing, amazing questions and just engagement. It's been great. You want to reach out, make sure you can follow me, InfoNakpon, TikTok, Instagram. We're here on YouTube as well. You can always send me a message. I'm always happy to help. So if you have any questions, you want to reach out, you want to talk about something, you have questions about something, I'm happy to do my best to answer those questions. I'm surrounded by some brilliant gentlemen. So if I don't have an answer, I can veer you their way as well. And they're always happy to help as well. So I appreciate it. We're a little bit over, thank you for hanging on, hanging with us, and really making this fun and exciting. So thank you so much.
Professor, can I challenge you with something before you go?
Yes, sir.
I want to put some pressure on you. I would want for the CIC to come together to talk about this ape NFT and this horse racing. Black Rue brought up the chicken run and horse racing last year. We all have the data out there. I would like that conversation. Can the CIC get back together? All five members. Can we make that happen?
Yeah. When and where?
All right. We'll talk about that offline, but I would like to coordinate that. Y'all hear me saying it. So if it doesn't happen, I'd put it out there, folks. I'll put it out there.
Challenge. Jake,
send me a link. I'll jump in with you and Red Dad, Blue Dad.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. All right.
All right.
Have a good one, guys. Peace.
All right. Thank you.